Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Lowe's, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, install, and more when you spend $2,500 on select major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 2/25 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Florida. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
My Horrible Experience on the Graveyard Island by The Whale, 13. In the 14th century, the plague arrived here, and with a vengeance sought out to kill everyone in sight. A few managed to escape to a decently large island in one of our biggest lakes in my country, but the plague wiped them all out, one after another. In the end, the whole island turned into basically a large cemetery. Or so I've heard. Another thing that is important to the story is that an author lived here in the 50s before moving. The house and its adjoining sheds still stand. If you have the patience to read through this, I can promise you that you will be just as horrified as I was. Now, I love the outdoors, and after coming across this island on Wikipedia, I just needed to go. And then the opportunity arose. My family and I found a road close by and followed a small path to a little peninsula. The island measures, at the very least, a half a mile long and was truly a sight to behold. It might not seem big, but when heavily forested and covered by cliffs and large hills, it's larger than you might think when on foot. Well, I swam over there. It took about 5 minutes. That was around 100 to 200 yards. The water wasn't warm, but perfectly cool enough to shield me from the blistering heat. Not too challenging, and I was in a very good mood, to say the least. Immediately, I didn't find a path, and so I ended up just walking until I found one. After coming across a little shelter, I continued to walk. And I was taken away by its enchanting beauty. Crisp blue water, which almost looked like a lagoon, 100-foot-high cliffs on a small island in northern Europe. The truth was, it seemed so incredibly amazing. It seemed too good to be true. My journey continued, and I went on. After finding the lagoon-looking thing and being both bewildered and amazed, I continued. And I still regret that very much. The thing that I recall was that after I passed a little meadow, my mind immediately thought, this is going to take a dark turn. And maybe I just kind of made myself think that it was different. But it felt like this cozy and wonderful atmosphere changed, and it all just seemed different after that. You know how I mentioned the author's house? Well, abandoned in the 50s, and I saw it, but before I could reach those forgotten and sad-looking buildings, I needed to cross some ferns. They didn't look odd or anything like that. It was just a path between some patches of waist-high ferns. For every other step I took, I heard movement from the ferns. I stopped and looked around, but found nothing. I figured it was a rabbit or something like that. I took some more steps. The movement and snap of twigs got closer and closer. Whatever this was following me. Trying to shut out my increasing fear of unease, I went up to see this old house. Coming closer, I saw how decrepit it really looked. The main house and the surrounding sheds looked beautiful, but long forgotten and neglected. The lake looking at me from behind the house was a bit of relief. And then I heard the voices. People were talking from inside or maybe behind the house. Now I was seriously scared, and I got this feeling of dread, one that I hadn't felt before. I just wanted to jump into the lake and take the extra long route so I wouldn't have to be there anymore. But whatever it was that talked, I never wanted to meet, ever, so I did the only thing I could. I just ran, past the ferns, but I still heard this thing, whatever it was, following me. After some very uncomfortable pacing, I finally crossed over the meadow. In the end, I managed to swim back. I still don't know what was following me there on the island. It was so beautiful, but I don't think I ever want to go back.
Stories from Helltown, A Mother's Perspective, by Regina. This is a follow-up to a story submitted by my son, Aaron, that was shared in episode 211. I'm Aaron's mother, and I wanted to share my own experience. This demonic oppression began years before we ever moved to Front Royal. My parents and older brothers battled it for several years prior to my birth. There were periods of heightened activity and periods of calm. Aaron and his brothers were unaware of these things until they were older. Things definitely escalated in Front Royal. Aaron was correct in saying that the house and the entire area had a terrible vibe. The worst experiences I ever had began in that house. There was a full year when I was so completely sleep-deprived that I was nearly fired from my job. Every night, I was afraid to go to sleep. Every attack started the same way. The only way I can describe it is an overwhelming heaviness, heaviness to the point of suffocation. The dark would become darker, and I would know exactly what I was in for. Aaron described his father's experience with the shadow. That happened the same night I prayed that he would witness something, anything, to make him believe what I was battling. I was at my wit's end, trying to keep my marriage to an alcoholic together, working to keep a roof over my sons' heads, trying to teach them the faith, and battling demonic activity day after day, night after night. That night, for the first time in a long while, I actually slept without disturbance. Until my husband woke me up, frightened by the shadow entity he had seen. So often in these stories, we focus on the evil, the fear, and the shock factor. And while all those things are compelling, the power that dispels it is just as interesting, and far more awe-inspiring. One such example happened in that same house in Front Royal. I was lying in bed, completely exhausted. My bedroom door was cracked open slightly. I could hear my niece and my husband talking in the dining room. That's when the heaviness crept in. The room darkened. My hearing began to fade. The pressure in my head and upon my body rendered me completely unable to move. I tried to call out for one of them to come help me, but I had no voice. In my mind, I saw an elderly man. He wore a dark blue suit. A fedora-style hat sat over white hair. He had piercing blue eyes, yellow teeth, and a white goatee. He had one hand wrapped around my throat, pinning me against a wall. My feet were not touching the floor. In this vision, I still couldn't speak. I was praying for help in my mind as he laughed at me. Then, suddenly, I was able to speak. But it was not in English. I knew it was Latin. I don't speak Latin. His grip loosened. He looked angry. And eventually, he disappeared. I was able to regain my breath and move again. I rushed out of bed and ran to the safety of the dining room, where my niece and husband were. As I told them what had happened, my eyes were drawn to a laminated prayer card sitting on top of the microwave. I'm not sure where it came from. I don't remember putting it there, and I don't recall seeing it there earlier. I picked it up and read the prayer on the back. It was written in Latin. It was a prayer to Saint Benedict, who is known to be a powerful defender against demonic forces. I fully believe that prayer is what released me, and that I was somehow assisted in reciting words I did not know. I also want to clear up one part of Aaron's story, the picture. It was not the Divine Mercy image. It was a picture of the Sacred Heart. It had hung in my childhood home my entire life and had belonged to my mother. When the boys and I had moved into an apartment, one town over from Front Royal, we pulled it out of a box. The frame broke, so we removed the picture, and that's when we discovered another image glued to the back. Aaron described it correctly. The more we looked, the more we realized it was not done by a child. The coloring was perfect. Nothing went outside the lines, except for the black cat. The cat looked like it had been colored angrily. Thick, dark crayon, scribbled far outside the lines, with red eyes. A priest advised my brother to bless the picture with holy water and burn it, which he did. Afterward, his wife experienced some strange incidents involving a rabbit. After years of intermittent help from various dioceses, investigations by several exorcists, including deliverance for some family members and full exorcisms, the church concluded that there was a generational curse placed upon our family, by whom we have never discovered. Through exorcisms, some information has been obtained, but we must be cautious with that information, because demons lie. Has all of this gone away? Did we get a happy ending? Not really. It has died down, but many of us still experience things. I learned long ago not to let the parlor tricks frighten me. And there is so much more to our story. I'm 55 years old, and I've dealt with these things my entire life. I only wanted to expand upon and corroborate Aaron's submission. Sadly, Aaron's experiences resulted in the loss of his faith at a young age. Mine did the opposite. Because I have seen with my own eyes that demons absolutely fear the name of Christ and his army of saints and angels.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the Million Dollar Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Bingham's Light by Bake at 420. This story is about 10 years old. I was 20 and dating this guy from California. We lived in South Carolina at the time. He had only lived in South Carolina for a few months, so he wasn't familiar with the area. He had a job traveling to repair point-of-sale systems and retail stores. Because he grew up in Southern California, he really loved finding long country roads and just exploring the rural areas of South Carolina. It was pretty common for him to come home and pick me up for us to go and explore some new road that he had traveled for work. We lived in a very small town, and I looked forward to these adventures just to get out of town. One summer night, we decided to go for a drive down one of his roads, out towards Dillon, South Carolina. It's your typical summer night in the South. Clear skies, and the air is thick and sticky, like after you take a long hot shower. We had been driving down this two-lane country road for a few miles, deep in the middle of a southern pine forest. We pass a small church on the right and come out of the woods to an open field right where the road curves towards the right. In the curve, there's a dirt road on the left-hand side. My boyfriend decides this is a good spot to stop and have a smoke. He backs the truck into the dirt road so that the front end is facing across the main road into the open field. I can see behind us from the taillights that there's a big gate blocking off the dirt road with a sign that says Rifle Club. Before he gets out, he leans over to give me a kiss. We're on the side of the road in the dark, so why not? As we're kissing, I can't explain it, but I felt like I was being watched. So I opened my eyes mid-kiss and looked out the front. Apparently, I stopped being as attentive to the kiss because he stopped and turned as well, asking what was wrong. I saw a flickering light ahead of us across the street in the field. At first, I suspected it was the light from a radio tower or something, but as we watched, the light appeared to move. It sort of swayed a bit, like someone was walking while holding the light. Our first thoughts were that we had parked near some old farm that we couldn't see, and the farmer was coming to chase us off. There was no fear, just sort of a shock and curiosity as we watched. It was weird because it seemed to be moving closer to us, but at the same time, it still kind of looked like it was far away in the distance. While watching, I could also see the lights from the dash of the truck reflecting off of the windshield, so I thought maybe it was just some kind of reflection. We rolled the windows down and stuck our heads out of the truck, and we could still see the light. The light kept coming towards us until it got to about 15 feet away from the other side of the road. It stopped and went back the way that it came. As soon as the light disappeared, we both felt the urgent need to leave. We took off the way that we came, going back by the church and out towards the main highway. As we turn onto the main road, I see a sign that says turn right to go to Bingham, and that's when it hit me. That's when I realized exactly where we were and what we saw. As a child growing up in the area, there were many urban legends, Bingham's light being one of them. I never truly believed it as a child. I thought it was just some kind of old ghost story. So we drove straight home that night and we didn't sleep. The rest of the night we spent reading about Bingham's light and other encounters. As soon as the sun came up, we drove back out to the dirt road where we parked the night before. We walked out to the field where we saw the light, looking for any evidence of what we saw, but there wasn't anything. It didn't make sense to me. I wasn't sure if it was Bingham's light because the stories all claim that you see the light near railroad tracks in Bingham. We decided to turn left off the dirt road and continue down the road the rest of the way just to see where it goes. Not even half a mile down the road, we cross what used to be railroad tracks. To this day, I'm still unsure of what we really saw. Legend says a man back in the 1800s died on the railroad tracks, and there are many different versions of the story, but that's the gist of it. Supposedly, if you go to the tracks, you can still see the light of his lantern. The show Unsolved Mysteries did an episode on Bingham's light and explained the light just as swamp gas. We drove that area the next day in daylight, and I don't recall ever seeing any swampland near us or the area where we spotted the light. I thought about going back out there several times, but the idea terrifies me. Maybe one day I'll get the nerve to go back.
Full Apparition in Austria by Heather. I'm not exactly sensitive to the paranormal, but I've had a few experiences that make me believe there's more to the universe than what we can perceive. This isn't my scariest story, but it is the only time I've ever seen a full-body apparition. Growing up, my family traveled to Europe often, especially Austria. My parents had gone there on their honeymoon and completely fell in love with it. So many of our summer vacations were spent visiting different parts of the country. This happened when I was about 14 or 15 years old, and it was the first and only time my parents let me bring a friend along. I'll call her Rachel. On this trip, we were mostly visiting historical sites around Vienna. We stayed in a hotel that had been operating since the late Middle Ages. Rachel and I were convinced the place had to be haunted, just based on how old it was. Ironically, nothing even remotely spooky happened there. Instead, the experience took place somewhere else entirely. The Zegrota at Hinterbrühl. I definitely butchered that. The Zegrota is a former mine that flooded in the mid-1800s. Forming an underground lake. Today, you can take boat tours through it. But during World War II, the mine was used as an aircraft factory, relying on forced labor from a nearby detention camp. It was deep underground, with dark, damp, and dangerous conditions. To reach the boat launch, visitors have to walk down a long, sloping tunnel. The tunnel was maybe 3 feet wide, so narrow that we all had to walk single file behind our guide. It was incredibly dark, with dim lights spaced every 50 feet or so. You couldn't really see ahead of you at all. I should also mention that to enter the tunnel, you had to pass through a large, heavy metal door. That detail will matter later. As we were walking down the tunnel, I suddenly saw a man's face appear ahead of us, emerging from the next pool of dim light. He was walking up the tunnel, toward us, and toward the entrance. Something about him immediately stood out. His features looked old-fashioned. He had a large, slightly unkempt mustache. Not a common style in the early 2000s. He was also alarmingly thin. I remember thinking he looked like someone from old photographs of Civil War soldiers. As we got closer, something about him felt off. Not evil, not threatening, just wrong. Like he didn't belong there. I tried to make eye contact and give him a small nod, assuming he was an employee and I was just being polite. When our eyes met, it felt like he was looking right through me. His eyes were a very pale, grayish blue. His entire appearance was almost colorless. As he passed us, I noticed he was wearing what looked like a one-piece jumpsuit, like something a mechanic might wear. "That's weird," I remember thinking. For a moment, I wondered if he was some kind of historical reenactor, though nothing like that had been mentioned on the tour. Then, something even stranger hit me. As narrow as the tunnel was, I never felt him touch me. Anyone walking past in that space should have brushed against me. But I felt nothing. Even stranger, our tour guide didn't acknowledge him at all. It was a small operation. I expected at least a nod or a greeting. Nothing. Then I waited to hear the sound of the heavy metal door opening at the entrance. It never did. I told myself, maybe he'd forgotten something, and turned around before leaving the tunnel. As soon as the man passed, I turned to Rachel, who was right behind me. My mom and dad followed behind her. I don't remember exactly what I said, but it was something like, "Whoa, that guy was creepy." Rachel immediately agreed. She said something about him felt really strange, too. At the time, I still assumed he was just another employee. Maybe thin enough to squeeze by without touching me. And then, we forgot about it. Later that evening, my mom brought it up. She said, "Hey, when we were walking down to the mine, I heard you two say something about a man. What was that all about?" Rachel and I laughed nervously. "Oh yeah," we said. "That guy was so creepy. What was with his mustache and clothes?" My mom just stared at us, completely confused. "What man?" she asked. We were the only ones in the tunnel. My dad confirmed it too. He hadn't seen anyone either. They both agreed. The tunnel was far too narrow for someone to pass without them noticing. My mom distinctly remembered hearing me mention the man to Rachel, but she had never seen him. I still don't know exactly what I saw. Maybe it was a spirit. Maybe a residual haunting. But given what happened in that mine, and who suffered there, it doesn't surprise me that something remains. To add one final, unsettling footnote, about 2 years after our visit, a boat full of tourists capsized nearby. 5 people drowned. Apparently, the boat wasn't designed to hold the number of people packed into it that day. I still think about how empty the mine felt when we were there, and how lucky my family was to visit on a day when almost no one else was around.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I feel like I'm being haunted by a desperate ATM. Ever since I was a kid, I've felt really connected to people, animals, and even objects. I've always been a huge empath. I care a lot, but I also get attached to things in a weird way. If I ever felt a connection to something, I couldn't throw it away. I still have tons of little objects that I've kept over the years. And I give each of them a special place in my room because they feel important to me somehow. When I was younger, I had a few imaginary friends, but one of them I could actually see and talk to. I've had a lot of strange experiences throughout my life, and even though I'm only 23, I've seen things that I can't really explain. I've seen people who were dead, or people who looked like they were from a different time period, but for some reason, I've never been scared of them. Now, I've never been diagnosed with anything like psychosis or hallucinations or any other mental illness that could explain it. But about 2 years ago, I started getting really into the paranormal. I began meditating and trying to connect with spirit guides. Sometimes I free write or draw when I feel certain energies around me, kind of like letting whatever comes through just happen. I'm not even sure if it's real. But since I started doing that, things have started to feel darker. I feel different now. When I'm alone, especially at night or walking upstairs, it's not just the normal someone's watching me kind of feeling. It's like I'm actually being followed. I tried that visualization method where you imagine a protective bubble or a light around you, and at first it helped. But lately, it feels like something is breaking through it. I've been touched and even scratched by something when I was alone. I've woken up with bruises that don't make sense. I went to the doctor. They said I might be hitting myself in my sleep, but I don't think that's what it is. Lately, I've been waking up sweating and panicking. One night, I woke up and saw several people standing in my room just watching me. They were clearly dead. Their bodies were decomposed, like something out of a nightmare, but I was completely awake. I remember one was an African woman holding a fruit bowl, and another was a man with a tall top hat and cane. It scared the life out of me and my boyfriend, who was next to me. But what really got to me was something my boyfriend told me recently. He said that about a year ago, he woke up in the middle of the night and saw someone lying next to him, but it wasn't me. He said it was this dark-haired woman, I'm blonde, but her eyes were wide open and just staring back at him. He said she looked dead. He turned on the lights, and when he looked again, it was just me, sleeping there. He never told me until recently because it terrified him so much, and that really scared me because it fits so well with all the other weird things that have been happening. I've had professional help on and off throughout my life, and there's never been any sign that I have any type of mental condition or any medical condition that would even explain this. It's not carbon monoxide poisoning or anything like that either. I live in a big, safe, well-kept house, so I just don't know anymore. Am I haunted by something? Or is all of this somehow just coincidence after coincidence?
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Okay, first off, since we're going to start with comments per usual, I want to bring up something that Colleen said from the Discord chat. She said that her daughter asked what your favorite Christmas morning of all time was. I want to ask you this first.
Ooh, getting the Nintendo 64. Easy.
Well, tell me about that morning. Put us there. Like, how did that happen?
Well, I remember waking up and seeing a big old box right in the middle of the fireplace. And I knew I wanted to open that one first, but I couldn't. And surprisingly, I didn't even know that's what it was going to be. I don't remember asking for one, but I remember wanting one.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really wanted to say what I want for Christmas. I just kind of let it happen. So it made it even more special, and my face lit up, and there's a picture somewhere of me just absolutely losing my mind, like my neck veins are popping out. It's a sight to behold. I'll have to try to find that.
That's so funny. I didn't get a Nintendo 64 until much later in life. I was behind for most of the consoles, except for Sega Genesis. When I got the Sega Genesis, that was a great time when I actually had a current system, like a current gen system, and that wasn't even Christmas, but yeah, I was behind most of the time. I think the first year I got a current gen system was the Sega Saturn. Already it was discounted because they were discontinuing it because it got beat by PlayStation so hard. And so they got all the games and everything for like $5 a piece. And, you know, the system was half price. And I cannot believe how cheap it was and how expensive they are nowadays. It's crazy.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you ended up with a Saturn until you mentioned it was toward the end of its lifetime. Because that thing was expensive when it came out, like inflation or not.
Yep, and it was so cheap when they got it. And I just remember shopping for games after that, being able to just pick up games at Toys R Us for like $5 a piece out of this bargain bin. That's the one thing I really regret selling, was that. But anyway, that was probably my favorite Christmas. And it's funny because you can gauge, not necessarily gauge, but everybody's Christmas from our generation usually is like a video game system or video games. Like that's what Christmas was about, getting video games, always.
Always. Yep.
Yeah. I loved that. I remember getting a GameCube. That was a great year.
I know people got all excited over the Atari, which fair, absolutely rightfully so. But after the NES, that was everybody's best Christmas if they got one of those or anything after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How was your Christmas this year?
It was good. Didn't really do a whole lot. Watched a weird series of movies. Brokeback Mountain, followed by the John Wick trilogy plus one. Quadrology.
Nah, that's not too weird. All good movies. Yeah.
Very random, though. Yeah. How about you?
It was super stripped down, easy. Just my wife and my parents, and I made clam chowder. My mom brought ham. And that was it. We just ate, played some cards, talked religion and life, and then they went home.
What card game? That's important. I've been playing more.
King's Corner. It's kind of a... Okay. Oh, you like that one?
Yeah.
It's fun, but it's very Yahtzee in that it's mostly chance. There's very little actual brain power that gets put into it, so it gets old very quickly.
Fair critique.
And we've got Becky Hannum, referencing episode 212, they said, "Thanks, guys, for the episode. It helped me when preparing for Christmas dinner. Great episode and presented in great style. Happy Christmas from the UK. I forget that you guys say Happy Christmas over there. I like that.
And holiday instead of vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
I like those fun little differences.
Mm-hmm. Final one was from Katie. "Hey, guys, what's your death row meal?"
Oh, that is a tough one. Wow.
Also, the assumption that we're going to be on death row at some point.
Yeah. I hope it's worth it. Well, probably like a New York pizza, of course. That's got to be up there. Maybe an enchilada from Taco Bell. And you know what? Why not? Let's go crazy and throw a Diet Coke in there.
I love that you go diet. I've never been able to get over the aspartame, like fake sugar taste. It just sticks with me and it makes me feel nauseated. I wish I could, because I hate all of the sugar that's in soda, but man, Coke is so good.
Yeah, I don't know. The sugar in there, it just, something about the Diet Coke tastes less heavy and easier to sip on. And it feels more refreshing, whereas most soda just all feels dehydrating as I'm drinking it. And I don't like that feeling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But it's fun when you're like playing a video game or something. Just like chug Coke and just get that sugar rush.
Mountain Dew and Doritos.
It's my alcohol replacement for when I need something.
Yeah. The Topo Chicos, though. Can't go wrong there.
Yeah, those are great. Okay, I guess we should get into some stories.
I guess so. Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's the holidays. End of the year catch up. I wanted to just kind of chat a little bit.
Yeah, we're kicking back. So most notably, we have a follow-up from a story in episode 211 from Aaron, Stories from Helltown. I'm sure you might remember that one.
Yeah.
And this is from Aaron's mom. Really cool to hear. It's nice hearing other people's perspectives with any sort of shared experience. So it's especially cool to hear from his mom of all people.
Yeah.
And they both somehow got caught up in this, I guess, generational curse is what the church concluded that it was.
Yeah. I'm just confused about this one. I read through it. I looked at all of our notes and I'm just confused about where this curse came from. They say it's a curse, but where can they trace this back somehow? How do they know it's a curse?
I don't know. I really don't know how they came to that conclusion or why somebody would want to curse them.
Yeah, you think maybe the family...
Maybe it was unknowingly. Exactly, the family. Somebody unknowingly, they like inherited some sort of weird spirit. Could have been like an ancestor who was using a Ouija board, forgot to say goodbye.
Yeah.
You never know.
I'm curious how one from a church investigates something spiritual like this and concludes that it's a haunting, or rather a curse. I want to know the ins and outs. I want to know exactly how they do this. I'm going to have to do some research on that. But
maybe from so many people going through the exorcism.
Could be.
They just kind of concluded so many people are responding to it that it latched on to a family as a whole. But I don't know how they could really determine it was generational, how many grandparents and grandchildren got investigated or looked at, you know?
Yeah. I always found it interesting how the Catholic Church specifically just has like this entire department, basically is what you could call it, of investigating these types of things.
Hey, that's one of many.
Yeah, that's one of many departments.
The PR department works overtime usually.
You got it. Yeah, it was cool that they got back to us so quickly too. Episode 211, that was last week, right? Or the week before that.
The week prior, yeah, because we had the compilation.
Super quick. Yeah, a lot of people always ask, like, do you ever hear back from authors? Do you ever hear, like, have any follow-ups? And I'm like, actually not that often. When we do, we usually talk about it on the show.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice because it feels more personal rather than just,
yeah,
all right, story number three, check, and you forget about it.
Yeah.
It's nice hearing back from people. It feels more human than just reading a story once and moving on.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm curious about the prayer card specifically that seemed to appear out of nowhere on that microwave, and the fact that the card exactly pertained to demons, protecting from demons.
Yeah.
And even if it didn't just suddenly appear there, maybe somebody happened to set it there earlier, you know, like it was some sort of unknowing foreshadowing action that protected her.
Yeah, I didn't even know what a prayer card was. I had to look it up.
They're a thing, yeah. They sell them loosely on the street sometimes. It's kind of a thing, yeah. They're like Pokemon cards for Catholics.
Yeah, Christian Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah.
They got like the description and everything on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What about you? What you got?
Well, I want to talk about Desperate ATM. I'm assuming that's Desperate at the moment, not the other one. They talked about being haunted and everything, but what I found interesting was they referenced childhood conversations with imaginary friends again. We've talked about this in the past, about how you and I didn't really have real, like we didn't see the imaginary friend, you know, we didn't really have an imaginary friend. I don't actually know anyone personally that did.
Yeah, not a real one.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this. I tried to talk to an imaginary friend and create one, but even as a kid, I was just like, I don't get it. And it makes me wonder if maybe imaginary friends are actual things like spirits or entities, cryptids or something. And that's why most people like us can't recall actually having a real imaginary friend because we didn't see one.
Could be. Or maybe your subconscious mind felt that it knew that it couldn't be a real thing, so one never manifested.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah. And one thing that I love is that the author came out and said it. No, it's not carbon monoxide. I've checked.
Good.
Which, yeah, I get it. It's like a ongoing Reddit thing, and it keeps being brought up. And I think that the fact that it keeps being brought up on Reddit whenever anybody experiences anything weird has somehow influenced the reality that it's a common thing, and it's absolutely not a common thing. Hold on, I'm going to pull up the numbers. Yeah, the CDC estimates approximately 400 people die from unintentional carbon monoxide exposure in the U.S. every year. Think about that number. That's extremely low. and people that are even affected by it is especially low. So yes, while you should check your carbon monoxide detector if you're experiencing weird stuff, chances are that's not what it is. Then that's just the data.
Oh, good. Yeah, I don't have many outlets in this office, so I may or may not have taken mine out.
Yeah, I remember like just never caring about batteries and smoke alarms or detectors of any kind in the house. Just like, how can I get the beeping to stop? That's all I cared about.
Oh, yeah.
But now as an adult, now that I live in a house, I'm like, oh, no, all these batteries need to be replaced. They need to be ready to go just in case.
This is a liability. Yeah. I'll never financially recover from this.
That's good.
So the apparition story that took place in Austria by Heather, That's a little sad one, knowing what that ghost could have been. I remember being on some sort of tour of a prison in Wyoming, I think it was. And I remember the tour guide, wasn't a tour guide, it was an employee who just happened to be giving a tour.
Yeah.
But I guess that's whatever, you know what I mean? Of course, he was asked the question if he saw anything, and he mentioned seeing some things. And yeah, that was one of those things where you could tell they were being sincere. And This kind of makes me think of that. Maybe somebody was roaming around that tour guide at the time couldn't see. And also interesting that the parents couldn't see it either. I could see one person seeing, but the fact that some but not all people saw it make it even more interesting. Like, why those people and them only?
Yeah.
But still more than one, still corroborated. Really, really multifaceted, dare I say.
Yeah. And it's funny because the apparition that they described, it just made me think of some hipster, like on his way to his bartending job, like probably like the curly mustache and some suspenders.
Oh, yeah.
Just strolling through.
$30 hamburger.
Yeah, a little tiny basket of fries. There's like four fries.
Yep.
One thing I wanted to touch on before we go was the Bingham's Light. So this was interesting because it's one of those legends that we've talked about, not necessarily that we've talked about on the show, but we've talked about legends like this. It's like a haunted location that's really popular, and we're always like, we got to go visit it. We never will.
Never.
But this one was referenced in Unsolved Mysteries, and I remember this as a kid. And I remember it being really scary, and those paranormal-themed Unsolved Mysteries episodes were always the most interesting and scary to me.
By far.
Yeah, but I've watched them now as an adult, and God, they are just hilariously bad. Like, really, really bad.
As bad as the Nintendo 64 controller, the joystick at least.
I've replaced multiple joysticks on my system. They're super annoying.
In hindsight, it's so good, but then when you go back as an adult, it's just kind of laughably bad, and you wonder how you ever thought it was good.
Yeah, Nintendo has a bad history with joysticks.
Yeah, and this drift thing, oh, they better be in trouble, or they better worry. What am I trying to threaten Nintendo with nothing? They better apologize if my Switch 2 ever gets stick drift.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, those things are like $500-$600. But yeah, going back to Bingham's Light, this is one of those, you know, stories about, oh, it's a mysterious light that everyone's talked about for years. Somebody that's passed away near the railroad tracks, and they can see the guy walking with the lantern at night. And there are so many stories online on message boards and Facebook and everywhere about people that have talked about seeing these lights. There isn't a single video or photo of these lights. Nobody was thought to take a camera there and get any footage or proof of just a light moving around in the distance. Nothing. Just stories. Not a single one.
You know what? It almost reminds me of the Anson lights just outside of Abilene, Texas. I went there, and that was, I guess, interesting, but it can be explained what they say from a nearby highway.
Yeah.
Like headlights and everything like that. But I was out there at like 3:30, 4 in the morning, when there was hardly anybody, even on a freeway in that area, that would be out. And I remember seeing a light with a sustained flicker that only went away if I were to move toward or away from it.
Yeah.
But I would imagine if it were like a freeway, it would alter course a little bit or flicker in different ways or more than it did and not be so consistent. But it was just like a solid light that was on with like a candlelight flicker, and it wouldn't go away unless I moved a bit too close or a bit too far away. So I'm curious where that came from, because the freeway doesn't really check out because there aren't constant headlights for that entire 45 minutes I was out there.
Did you take a photo or any video of it?
This is so cliche, but I lost it. However, just know it wasn't a very compelling video. It was just a dark frame.
I don't care. I was looking for anything. I was looking for old site, like T-Mobile Sidekick pictures, anything. I couldn't find a single thing for this Bingham light, or Bingham light, as I've heard it referred to. But yeah.
You know what? I'm going to look right now. I'm going to go to Maps, zoom out, Texas. Let's see if I can find it. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. And while you're looking for that, another thing that was interesting is even, I think the Unsolved Mysteries episode even tried to explain it away as a reflection on the swamp gas or something. And but they went back and they searched the next day. I think they even went back twice, if I recall, in the story. I can't really remember, but there was no swampland or anything like that. There's really no explanation as to why they saw this light.
Yeah, and unfortunately, zero in Anson, Texas. But I promise, I was there. I think I just dumped my phone all those years ago.
No, it's okay. I've dumped so much crap like that before just because I hate hoarding data like that. I like the clean, fresh feel.
Yeah. That's why I got one folder and three icons on my iPhone home screen.
All right. Well, I guess we've bored people enough to death.
Yeah.
We had a lot to catch up on, a lot of good stories to talk about. But thanks so much, everyone, for another year of Odd Trails. All of your stories, all of your comments and questions, keep them coming. Looking forward to 2026 and beyond. Make sure you send your stories to stories@oddtrails.com. And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/oddtrails, to get ad-free versions of the episodes at a higher bitrate. It's the best way to listen to the podcast and support the show. And check out my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast. See you guys next week, everyone. Stay safe.
Peace out.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.